It's been a while since I last recorded and published an episode of What She Said. And actually, this is going to be the last episode of the current series because I'm doing a huge relaunch. That sounds a little bit more grand than I mean it to be, but I'm changing everything. I'm changing What She Said podcast into podcast that speaks more to my values now and the things I'm interested in. It will still be called What She Said, and I think you'll all still be really interested in it, but it won't be how it has been. So I won't be talking about small business, motherhood, Instagram in the way that I have been. Anyway, that should be happening by the end of the month. It's very exciting. But for this last ever episode of What She Said in the guise that it is now, I'm talking to Ali Buckley. So I really, really hope that you enjoy the episode and stick around.
So today I am speaking to the amazingly magical content creator and Instagram maven, Ali Buckley, aka She Made Magic. Hi, Ali. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Not bad, thank you. Good. So let's kick things off. I sort of hate those standard, oh, tell me about yourself and why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners? Really boring. Everybody can find out about you if they want to by just looking at your website. So I would love to get to know you a little bit more with some quick fire questions.
Oh my gosh. Off.
You ready?
Yeah.
Fave vegetable.
Broccoli.
Ooh. Fave place.
Cornwall.
Favorite color.
Blue.
Superficial item you'd save from a burning building.
My moisturizer.
Nice. And what is your moisturizer?
I've got about six or seven. I mean, I'm a queen of moisturizer. Yeah.
Oh, are you?
I'm nicknamed Lizard by like some of my friends. I just love a moisturizer, anything. Vaseline, anything, just give me the moisture.
Okay, lockdown cliche that you've embraced.
Daily walks, banana bread. I mean, I can play bingo with this. We can do more.
I don't like banana bread. Controversial.
My husband doesn't like it, so I have to eat the whole thing. So I resisted in lockdown one, but now I'm pregnant. I'm like, yeah, just take the banana bread. I'll eat the whole thing. It's fine.
The baby needs it. Yeah. And who are you locked down with?
I'm locked down with my husband and my two little boys, and I'm currently cooking another little boy in my tummy.
Mum of three. And three boys. Wow.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Three under five I will have at some point this year.
That's exciting and probably a little bit terrifying.
A little bit, but I always had a weird premonition that I would have three boys. So it feels very familiar.
Oh, it's nice. Yeah. It's so exciting. Let's get stuck into your work then. So how do you find yourself in the job that you're in right now?
Okay, so I went on maternity leave with my second little boy. And within a week of my maternity leave, in fact, I was actually on holiday on that maternity. I hadn't started the maternity leave. I was still on sort of annual leave. It was like a January. I was taking January off on annual leave. And I received a letter that made me redundant from that job. It was all legitimate. They were relocating. So I took my redundancy pay, took all my money from them and I was like, oh, okay, what am I going to do now? I didn't love my old job. I become very sort of bitter about my old job. There was a lot going on in the sort of space of that workplace that was very toxic, and I found myself at like a point of, okay, well, I really don't know what to do, but I do this thing online. I've got this hobby that I really enjoy doing and people seem to think I'm quite good at it. I wonder if I can sort of turn that into a business. And I'm been very inspired by people on Instagram who have multi-hyphened jobs. And so I sort of set myself on a path to have this multi-hyphened job that I have now. So I sell courses. I do social media management for small business and coaching for small businesses to help them with their Instagram. I create organic content just to inspire people. And I also do micro influencer work on Instagram. So that's sort of all of the strings to my bow, I think. I think that's everything.
I think that's enough, isn't it? Along with three kids. Don't add any more. But I think, so one thing that struck me about you, I only discovered you like last year, which is insane to me. Because I think we kind of move in the same circles.
I think and we're I in like, the same oh. sort of, yeah, at this and being around the same sort of time. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
In the Instagram world, yeah.
Exactly. And the first thing that I thought was, oh my goodness, this person is amazing. How do you not have like 300,000 followers? Because the content that you create is, well, you do, it's what it says on the tin. It's magical, really high quality. The ads that you create are gorgeous. And the way that you teach, because I've done your stories course and your magical smartphone course.
Yeah.
And the way you teach is just, it's brilliant. I think I'm a total fangirl. I think you're absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. Likewise, by the way, I've been inspired by you since before any of this sort of business side of my work was even an idea. I just thought, oh, wow, people are doing that thing that they want to do and living that freelance life. And yeah, totally inspired by yourself and others on Instagram.
Ah, that's nice. Bit of mutual fangirling. So let's talk about that freelance life and how when you're sort of creating as a micro influencer, a lot of people start off with it as their side hustle first.
Totally.
And then move into doing that full time in whatever way, shape or form it kind of turns out to be. Cause often it isn't, oh, you just make ads and that's all you do. And then you just, you know, brands are knocking down your door and then you're like, oh, I'm making enough money that I can go freelance full time. That doesn't tend to be how it happens, especially not now.
No.
But how did it start for you? So when you had your kind of traditional in the office job, mm-hmm. And you had She Made Magic as a side hustle, how did that start?
So on my first maternity leave, I discovered Instagram. I was probably quite a late discoverer of Instagram. So that would have been 2016, end of 2016, beginning of 2017. I discovered this world on Instagram and all these like mums were sharing just advice and love and support. And there was other mums like sharing creative photos that they were taking of their children. And I was like, oh wow, this is not what I thought Instagram was. Like I didn't really get Instagram. I just thought it was famous people posting pictures of themselves and people posting pictures of coffee. I literally didn't get it at all. And I was like, oh, it's a community. Like there's people and you can chat to them. And I'd never had that. I'd never had an online community before. So fast forward sort of 6 months, I've got a 6-month-old baby and I'm on my full year's maternity leave and I'd started, you know, building 1,000 followers. And I was like, oh, wow, this is so much fun. Like, I love taking these photos. Get to the end of my maternity leave. I've got a lot of anxiety about going back to work. But I thought, oh, I've only got a couple of 1,000 followers. I can't do anything with this. I'll just keep it as a hobby. So I was pregnant when I went back to work, sadly, lost the baby. Sadly in a job that I hated as well. And that whole year, then I fell pregnant again. That whole year back at work, I kept hold of Instagram and kept it up as much as I could. And I started getting gifted work. So just brands saying, oh, can we gift you some stuff in return for some posts? And I was like, yeah, this is amazing. This is like the dream. I, you know, I had a couple of 1,000 followers and I'm getting free stuff, flowers and things, stuff for the baby and stuff for my little toddler and stuff. It was so much fun. And then when I was made redundant, so that was 2019, January, I was made redundant. I was like, I'm going to have to turn this hobby into something because I just felt like, how else am I, you know, I spent all this time, I'd invested so much time. You've got to understand how much time even micro-influencer is investing. I mean, minimum, I was probably doing 20 hours a week when I was on maternity, when I was working as well. So I was doing a 20-hour week in the office. I'm probably spending about 20 hours a week on my Instagram I worked at one point. And I'm like, that's serious. Like you're taking that hobby quite serious at that point. And I didn't want to lose that. I felt like I'd invested a lot of time, skill, and I just wanted to embrace it, get better at it. And yeah, thankfully my husband's incredibly supportive and he's totally laid back. So he was like, just go for it. It'll be fine. And my parents the same. And my sister was a supporter. And, you know, you come up against people when you suggest these crazy ideas of like, I'm just going to do this Instagram thing as like a business. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't really know, but it's going to work. But other people's self-doubt gives you self-doubt. Doesn't it? So I just had to block it all out and be like, no, I do know this will work. I'll make it work. And yeah, it's working so far. The courses was like, I didn't come up with that straight away. That took another sort of four. I went self-employed September 2019. And I didn't start launching the courses really as an idea, even in my head, until January 2020. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That year.
Yeah, that year. So I actually launched the first day of my first course was the 1st of March 2020. Within 3 weeks, we were in lockdown.
Goodness.
And I had no childcare. So.
But that was fun.
Such fun. Such fun. And then I wrote the stories course in May when we were in like the peak of lockdown, like in some, I don't actually know how I managed to do that. But yeah, I let that one, that little lockdown baby, my lockdown baby course went out in May. That was the Instagram stories course. And that has been, yeah, that's been some, one of the best courses and one of the best pieces of content I've ever produced. I absolutely love it.
It's brilliant. It's so good. So thinking about the advice that people give and the noise that's out there when it comes yeah. to going self-employed and just, I think it's hard when you're a solo, you know, solopreneur, freelancer, you don't have any colleagues. So our colleagues are each other. We're, that's a good and a bad thing, right? Because there's so, you know, you get the crappy noise as well as the great support. So what's the best bit of advice you've been given?
You were sent this question on an email and I reread it and read it and I thought it's so tricky. There's little snippets from things that you pick up from people. One, just like self-belief, just believe in your idea and don't listen to other people's worries. So often I would say, I'm going to go self-employed and I'm going to do this thing. And people go, you shouldn't do that. Oh no, I wouldn't do that. And what they're saying is they wouldn't do it. Not you shouldn't do it. They don't know about you and your own thoughts and your own desires, but they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't step out of their comfort zone. And so they push it onto you. So I think you really have to learn to block that out. And I'm not saying I was going to be an acrobat or something or something crazy. I was going to do something that I was already doing, basically. So, you know, I'm not gone crazy. They people project and you have to block that out. Another amazing piece of advice was productivity over perfectionism. It is so easy to use perfectionism as a form of procrastination. So I can't do this because it's not perfect. I can't launch my website because it's not finished. I can't launch a course because I haven't finished writing it. I can't you know, put this photo out because it's not perfect. Just get it out there because you learn as you go. And I'm still working on my website now and I launched it like over a year ago and I'm still literally this week trying to tweak things that I hate, that I've always hated. But do you know what? I've been getting business. So that's the most important thing, that I'm earning money for my family, that I've established a business, that I've established a community. And actually you can come back to those things. Nobody's criticizing me. Nobody's like picking my website apart saying, I'm not going to order from you because this page doesn't look so pretty. That's all in our own heads. So yeah, be productive, get stuff out there. And if it's wrong, go and fix it later. You know,
I think that's a really, really good piece of advice, productivity over. Although, yeah, I have my own issues with just the hustle mentality on Instagram and tools to be more productive and all the rest of it. But I think productivity over ditching perfectionism and just start before you're ready. Just do it.
Get in there. Get going. Yeah. And just keep learning and learning and learning. Yeah.
How do you feel though when you make a mistake? Because when you're doing things so publicly, it doesn't matter if you've got 6,000 followers or, you know, 500 followers, if they're, you know, if you put them in a room, it's still terrifying. So how do you feel when you make a mistake online? Do you ever get called out or, you know, or even, you know, typos, stuff like that?
Yeah. I mean, I've made some brilliant mistakes in photographs where I'd sort of accidentally cut my legs off once underneath a table. And the amount of people that it was like a composite image of me in the kitchen, the table, like, and it went really well. It was like, it was getting loads of engagement. It bumped my followers. It was just one of those. It just went really well. And then in the comments, people were like, where are your legs? Where are your legs? I hadn't even noticed because I'm often editing with two kids around my ankles. Yeah. I'm like, quick, post it. Just do it. Yeah. Well, I call it out on stories, basically. If I get called out, I just go, oh, look, I've been called out, and then have that conversation. I think I'm just okay with that. I'm okay with saying, holding my hands up and saying, I've made a mistake. There's no buts. I mean, there is a but, that one probably the kids annoying me and me not checking. But if it was something more serious, I wouldn't say, okay, I've made a mistake, but I would just say, I've made a mistake. I'm sorry. I learn, I move on.
Yeah. I think more people should embrace that.
And it's not that serious. That's the other thing. It's like, no, my job is crazy, not serious. this is a mental job that I'm doing. Like, I take photos in my house and post them on the internet, and brands sometimes pay me for it. And then I teach people how to do that for themselves, for a hobby, or because it might benefit their small business. I mean, yeah, it's fun, isn't it? It's magic. It's fun. It's just a bit of fun.
Yeah. I hired a VA last week, and we were having our kind of onboarding chat, and I said to her, just as a kind of guiding principle for my work, literally nothing I do is urgent because it's not. Like, you get, it's not. So never, because, you know, I know what it's like when you're working with clients and you just presume everything's urgent, and it is hard. And so I was like, please just keep that in mind for my stuff. Nothing I do is urgent. nobody will die.
Not that important. Yeah.
So you mentioned your kids. Mm. So how has becoming a parent impacted your work? I know that, you know, obviously maybe being a parent was completely the catalyst for you doing what you're doing now.
Entirely. Yeah. I think I had always said for years, I'd love to be self-employed. I had no idea what I might do. And being a VA was actually one of the things I thought I might do, or do some more training into sort of accounts background and be a bookkeeper or something like that. I don't know. I'm pretty glad I didn't do those things because I'm much too creative, and my brain is too quick for that stuff. Yeah, they were absolutely the catalyst, because without them, I wouldn't have gone down. This wouldn't be a path. This wouldn't necessarily be happening. But my want is for a work-life balance. So my ambition is work-life balance, not money. My ambition is work-life balance, not 50,000 followers or 10,000 pounds a week in courses, or whatever the gurus tell you you can make in courses. That isn't my ambition. My ambition is to have a job that is mine, have my children and my family life that is mine, and own it and balance it. That's my ambition. And that's very different from the ambition I had before I had children, which was to make more money. I worked in sales. I'd always worked in sales. There's no point in me being embarrassed about the fact that I used to make a lot of money and I used to sell a lot. And that was my job. Literally every day I went in and we had our sales targets for the week, £100,000, whatever it was. And we had to hit our targets. If we didn't hit our targets, we didn't get our bonus. And that was my old life. So this is a very different life. And I set my own targets, and sometimes they're monetary. But more often than not, they're more, okay, I want to create this many images this week, or I want to write a new free guide for my followers or something like that. They're completely different. Or I want to make sure this week I spend lots of time with the children. That's my ambition. Not to, you know, make tons and tons of money.
That's the thing, isn't it? When you go freelance, I think probably it's talked about a little bit more now, but certainly when I went freelance about 6 years ago, six, 7 years ago, I feel like I was mostly seeing those gurus saying, you could be making this much, you could be. Mm. And there wasn't enough of people saying, yeah, I don't want to. I mean, it'd be great if I could.
Yeah, totally.
I know. I'd have, I wouldn't say no to £10,000,
no,
you know, a week. Nope. But also, I don't want to work that much.
No. And I've had, in the last 5 years, which has been my progression of having children, I've had 5 pregnancies in 5 years. I've breastfed for a total of 28 months. And do you know what? It's bloody hard. It's so hard. And I don't want to make myself ill physically and mentally because I've worked so hard to make that money. I don't see what you're not winning. You're not winning at life if you do that. If you make yourself ill, if you push yourself that hard, and being able to, you know, go freelance, work from home, it took balls to do it, but it obviously takes, you know, it took a bit of privilege because my husband has earned enough pretty much to keep us going. So, you know, there's lots of circumstances and I don't know. It's a, I think that too much focus is put on go freelance or do these things. You will earn more money than you did working at work. And that's amazing. And it's like, it's not just about that, is it? Because if it was just about that, then more people would do it. But it's really not. It's about the fact that I can only have 15 hours childcare, but you know, I can work in the evenings and I can work at the weekends. And I know that the pandemic has meant that lots more people are doing that and working from home and realizing there's this other flexible way to work. But us people who chose to do it before the pandemic, we're like, yeah, exactly, guys. Exactly. This is what we're saying.
There's join another us. Way. Welcome.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is a bit of a tricky question. I did kind of prep you for this. First of all, I don't want to presume your identity. So you're a cis white female.
Yes.
So as somebody with all of those privileges, how are you making your spaces more inclusive? And is that something that you kind of strive to do? Is it something that's in the back of your mind? Or is it, you know, something you do in your, I hate to say real life, but in your offline life, but not in your online life?
Yeah, I think that last point's really interesting. I was actually speaking to my sister about it last night. And I was saying within my four walls, it's probably more of a topic within my four walls, within my household, than it maybe is on my platform. My intention going forward is to learn and educate myself on marginalized communities, the history of why marginalized communities are in this situation, and I want my children to understand it. I will have 3 white males. I'm going to bring up 3 white men, and that is really, that can weigh heavy actually. And then there's a lot of conversation about sort of women, let's raise, you know, strong girls club and all that sort of marketing around that on Instagram, and feminism and marginalized communities. And it's like, okay, well, I've got the 3 most privileged. I've literally given birth to them. They're there. And I've got to make sure that they know that and that they grow up in a world where they see it. Okay. And also with my husband, I do a lot more research into my own personal, like, relearning, understanding, teaching myself more. And I sort of have to sort of translate this back to my husband because he, do you know what? He works in a corporate environment where almost everyone is like over 50 and they're white and they're men. Mm. And I'm like, you've got to see it. You have to see it. And we have to make sure our children see it, because if we don't start with our children, then it's never going to change. We've got to start. And not always is it that somebody online. So I think people were looking on social media last summer when Black Lives Matter was really amplified, and people were looking online to influencers to educate them. And I can remember being very frustrated and being like, why are you actually looking at influencers to educate you? Why are you not educating yourself? Why are you not? You've got the internet. I mean, social media is amazing. You can sort of have bite-sized information. It's nice. It's easy to digest. But is that not just not enough? That's not enough. Mm. Like, go and do the work yourself. Go and educate your family, yourself, and look within your communities at what you can do closer to home. It's almost too easy to do it online, because it was almost too easy for people to put a black square up last summer and go, oh, look what I've done. I put this black square on my Instagram feed. No offense to anyone who did it, you know, you had your reasons, but I was like, no, it's not enough, is it?
Yeah.
It's not enough in your business, in your home life, you should be doing more. And so within my four walls, those are the conversations we have. I am aware of my privilege on Instagram. And in fact, I try and post with intent to not point out my privilege too much. Does that make sense? I don't want to highlight something that I need to stop. You know, we need to stop doing that. We need to like realize when we're doing that. So I try and post with more intent. Absolutely.
So I want to pick up on a couple of things that you said that I think are that I 100% nodded my head at vigorously and high five to. And that is, it is very easy to post a black square or beyond that. And I still see people doing a certain type of performative allyship, I would say, where you just share something and tell everybody else, your followers, to read it and maybe use a hashtag.
Understand. Yeah.
That is exactly it. And while, you know, I don't want to be ableist, some people are, the online life is their community because they actually can't, and especially right now, we can't. Online life and in-person offline life is very merged. But at the same time, I do think the most important thing and the change is going to happen much quicker if, like you say, the mum of three white men top of the food chain is having those conversations with them from birth. That's I have got one last question, which is, can you share a gift you'd love all women to have? So something that perhaps you wish you'd had when you pivoted into your current role. I kind of imagine this as almost like a magical chest that you, like a trunk, not your your boobs, but your boobs are magical.
Yeah, they really are.
that, you know, a woman starting out can open up and be like, oh, this is amazing.
So physical items, you mean? I think it depends.
Could be physical. Yeah. Whatever you think.
It depends what you need, doesn't it? It massively depends what you need. Equipment. If we go for physical things, decent equipment. It's like the dream at the beginning, isn't it? Everyone has like a hodgepodge of like secondhand equipment and something they've borrowed from a friend. So when I've like upgraded my equipment throughout my journey of being self-employed, that's been like such a treat, like the new laptop and the new camera and the new phone and everything. I need all those things for work. Obviously not everyone needs those things, but you know what I mean? It's those like upgrades to things that feel legitimate. And I don't know, you need like a pal that you can go to with everything, who's really objective. And for me, a lot of the time it's my sister. She just will sort of champion me. She's also very dry and tells me not to take myself seriously. So I think that's very important. And a supportive partner is helpful. Somebody who just understands you and lets you do it and like is there for you, and also so you can shout at them when you need to. I can remember in lockdown one, the breakdowns I would have sort of every sort of 3 weeks, you know, probably hormonal, I can just remember him having to take me at my absolute worst during that, because I just launched my courses and I was like, oh my God, this pandemic's happening like at the same time. How could this be happening? It feels very personal, doesn't it? But it's not at all. You need someone that you can, a couple of people to rely on for sure.
Oh, yes, definitely. I love your magical tool chest. You should launch it. Well, that was so lovely to chat to you. Thank you so much for your time and for
your
endless energy on Instagram and for sharing your knowledge so generously, because you do share it generously, which is nice.
I, think it's important. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can come and buy some of my knowledge or my courses, but I share loads as well because I think it's just important and it's fun. And I get excited when I find something new out and just want to tell people.
Yeah, but even in your paid courses, I think it's generous to share all of the information that you share. I know people pay for it, but you know, some people keep that to themselves.
Yeah, I've definitely looked at other people's courses before that I've bought and thought, wow, you're really not telling me much here at all. And I didn't want to do that when I wrote my courses. I was like, no, I literally want to educate you. I've taken other courses that I've been like, wow, this is amazing. And I wanted my courses to be wow courses, not, oh, I've spent 20 quid and I could have learned that from a blog post sort of thing. So, yeah.
It's good. Thank you. So where can everyone find you?
Okay, you can find me on Instagram. Mainly that's where I hang out. So that's She Made Magic. And I also have a website where my courses are sold. You can find more information about me, my portfolios on there for brands, and also presets I sell on there for Lightroom. And that is shemademagic.com. And that's it, really. I don't do the YouTube. I'm not very good at the TikTok. Mainly Instagram. Thank you.